You know, today we are going to finish our sermon series and actually birth a new one. Our topic of discussion is procrastination. And while I've waited to the end to preach on this topic, the end of the wisdom series, if you will, I would also venture to say, brothers and sisters, that I identify procrastination as one of the three major tools of the enemy to destroy, deter, and diminish the witness not only of individuals, but of churches as a whole. What I think this COVID era, has accentuated procrastination, we all agree that it's not a new reality, right? But in my preparation for this sermon, I found some unusual findings, I guess. Did you know that there is actually something called a Procrastination Club of America? It was birthed in 1956. And the resources I studied says that they have over 6,000 registered members, but proclaim that there's 20 million more that just hasn't got to the website yet to sign up. Now, you may think I'm making this up, but I'm not. They have a newsletter that they publish monthly called Last Month's Newsletter. And for $20, you can become a member of Procrastination Club of America and receive a license to procrastinate. Now, their purpose is promoting the philosophy of relaxation through putting off until later those things that needn't be done. And their motto, I'm not making this up, is this: we're always behind you all the way. Now, while this is kind of humorous, I think it is important to remind us that procrastination, brothers and sisters, is much more than simply putting off what we know we need to do. The Bible tells us that procrastination can also be a spiritual issue. Now, while it always begins with subtle things, procrastination desires to permeate the entirety of one's being. Now, believing that all of us have struggled with this issue, to procrastinate and following through with the exercises that I have given us up to this last sermon through this wisdom, our Proverbs series, for us to procrastinate and evaluating who has inner influence on our lives, to procrastinate and evaluating how our speech impacts us as well as others, to procrastinate and guarding our hearts from folly, well, to do so will only bring about deterioration of your moral and spiritual health. Proverbs speaks about procrastination numerous times. It uses language, though, that we don't immediately associate with procrastination. But it does so specifically in one chapter and about four or five verses. And I want us to look at those verses in that chapter today. It's Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. While I am not one who usually reads from the Message, especially in worship, maybe in sermon preparation, I thought that the Message translation today offered us a clear understanding of what we need to learn about procrastination. So join with me where it says in verse 30, "One day I walked by the field of an old lazy bones and then passed the vineyard of a slob. They were overgrown with weeds, thick with thistles. All the fences broken down. I took a long look and pondered what I saw. The fields preached a sermon. It preached me a sermon, and I listened. A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life with poverty as your permanent house guest." It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each reading saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and I'll respond saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a short prayer? Holy God, we just ask this morning that your Holy Spirit will inspire the writing of your text in our hearts and minds, and that same Spirit will minister to us in only the ways that it can, so that we are not victims of procrastination. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, friends, if we had read this passage from a different version of Scripture, like maybe the NIV or the English Standard Version, we would have seen a term that they use called sluggard. And that would have been in place of lazy bones. Now, I want you to know that this term sluggard is used 14 times throughout the book of Proverbs. And while many of us would argue that being a sluggard, being slothful, and/or practicing laziness is different than procrastination, the Hebrew word that we define as sluggard, as slothful, as lazy, is done so to indicate this. People who are flagrantly negligent, or who flagrantly neglect one's own best interests. So, a sluggard would rather procrastinate, you see, than do the work that needs to be done. It kind of reminds me of a funny story about a farmer boy who was traveling home on a wagon that was loaded with wheat. And on the way home, the wagon turned over. As he was there pondering in the road what to do, the neighbor come out and said, "Hey, Willis, come on in and join me for some dinner." He said, "We'll worry about that later." Willis said, "Well, I don't think, sir, that'd be a good idea, you see. I've got to get this wagon right side up and get it home." He said, "Oh, man, come on. Let's have dinner. Forget about your troubles right now. And after dinner, I'll help you get everything turned right side up, and you can be on your way home." He said, "Listen, my daddy's not going to be happy about this." And he persisted. So Willis finally turned around and said, "Okay, I'll join you for dinner." Well, after the dinner, he said, "Thank you, sir. You're right. I feel so much better. My belly's full. And I appreciate you coming out here to help me to get this wagon turned back over and get back home." He says, "Because I'm going to tell you, my pa is pretty upset right now." He said, "Don't be foolish. Why would your dad be upset?" He said, "Because he's under the wagon." Now, I hope the humor doesn't cause us to miss the point. If we're going to be successful, or fruitful is a better term, in God's world, we're going to have to overcome the problem of procrastination. Now, if we go back to our text that we just read, the picture that is painted for us is within those few verses is one of abandonment. And you may not understand this or not, but I hope you do today. Procrastination is a form of abandonment. I mean, go back to the verses and think about the picture it details. It clearly details that there was an individual in the story that had taken the time to not only till the ground, but also plant the vineyard, and then put a barrier around his property. But once the initial work was done, there was no follow-up, no maintenance, no caring for what was his source of life at one time. Now, I hope you can already begin to see the parallelisms, because since the owner did nothing for the vineyard did nothing for the owner. Likewise, brothers and sisters, when we neglect our spiritual health, it will start to crumble. Whether that's individually or corporately as Green Forest United Methodist Church. To ignore this truth is to journey down the path of folly. If your life is littered with thistles and thorns, it may be due to your irresponsibility towards your faith. Listen, friends, if we do nothing to nurture our faith walk will do nothing to nurture us. We get out of it what we put into it. Now, to combat procrastination, I believe, demands of us to recognize the antonym of that word, which is self-discipline. Now, self-discipline is not anything that people want to hear a preacher preach on. It's not anything that we want to talk about openly. But unfortunately, many church folk think that self-discipline is solely associated with refraining from those things that we ought not do. But friends, that's only half the story. Self-discipline also involves the motivation to do the things we know we should do. And here's the hard in-your-face reality. People who are intentionally stubborn about not doing the work of discipleship would be called sluggards, biblically. And friends, sluggards don't always appear as unkept, unorganized, or unpolished individuals. Take Leonardo da Vinci, for example. He is widely considered one of the most diversely talented individuals ever to have lived. As an artist, he is known for the Last Supper as well as the Mona Lisa, among others. However, his total output in painting is really rather small. There are at least, or less than, 17 surviving paintings that can be definitely attributed to him. And several of them are unfinished. Now, what you may not know is that the small number of surviving paintings is due in part to his chronic procrastination. He often, it is reported, or I read, he was often required a sharp threat by his patrons that they were about to withhold payment to motivate him. Did you know that it took him over 15 years, to finish the Mona Lisa? Worse was the Virgin of the Rocks, commissioned with a 7-month deadline. Da Vinci finished it 25 years later. And it is recorded that Da Vinci apologized on his deathbed to God and man for leaving so much work undone. Now, for all of you who are here present with us this morning and watching live on Facebook, the fact that you are present tells me that you're wanting to have some type of a relationship with God. You're wanting to grow in your understanding of discipleship. Well, let me tell you matter-of-factly, God does not call individuals to a life of procrastination. Rather, God calls us to embrace a life of passion, purpose, and pursuit. Every one of us share in the calling of God's people building His kingdom, to transform people's lives through the name and power of Jesus. Yet too many Christians procrastinate. I've heard many brothers and sisters in Christ tell me that they have more important things to do than to participate in this, to help start that, or to sustain this ministry. And I warn you, friend, there will come a day for all of us when we will look back upon our lives with regret for the things left unfinished, for the things that we did not continue under the name, mission, and ministry of Jesus Christ. So believing that no one wants to be identified as a sluggard, where do we go to find the prescription for overcoming procrastination, for overcoming this issue? I believe that we can find our answer again in the book of Proverbs by going back to chapter 6, looking at Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. And I want to read them for you. They'll be provided for you on the back of the screen. So join with me as we read. He says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man." Friends, I don't want the harsh warning in the closing of this passage to conceal the instructions from our hearts and our minds. To me, these verses tell us that in addition to understanding that self-discipline, the antonym of procrastination, is a dual action, we must also be honest with ourselves and God about this condition in our life. And after we prayerfully acknowledge this, then we take baby steps to begin. We're not to worry about the outcome. Just begin working toward the goal. I mean, I'm reminded of that old adage. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Overcoming procrastination begins with simply getting started. And after you get started, the next step is to allow yourself to enjoy the small victories of moving forward. And this is important. Too many times, procrastination is self-encountered due to the feelings of being overwhelmed by the demands of the task before us. And friends, I feel it's necessary to remind you that for those of us who suffer from anxiety at times, what feeds our anxiety is often due to our lack of being proactive and moving forward and living out whatever God's calling us to do. Remember this. Procrastination never offers comfort. It only increases the weight of our burdens. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, get that. Procrastination will never offer you and I any source of comfort. It will only and always add to our burdens. Now, last but not least, I believe these scriptures encourage us to find peace in the preparation. Now, you may find this hard to believe, but when we proactively prepare, we begin to change our habits. Procrastination is a habit, a bad habit that opens the door for the enemy to find ground. And what many fail to realize is that procrastination is an ingrained behavioral pattern. Whether it's caused by laziness or busyness, the outcome is always the same. So, if you're serious about overcoming the issue of procrastination in your life, then be serious enough to permit no exceptions for not following through. And this is paramount if you're serious about overcoming this issue. Now listen, let me back up here 1 minute and say this very clearly. I'm not suggesting that you take on another helping of responsibility on your plate of obligations. Rather, what I am asking is from all of us is to refrain from practicing procrastination so that we may begin to create new muscle memory and living out whatever it is that God's calling on our life. We can close the door to the influence of Satan and open our hearts to the holy habits of God, then procrastination will never be an issue for any of us ever again. Now, hear what I said. If we can begin to close the door to procrastination, we'll close the door to the influence of Satan and we'll begin to practice the holy habits of God. Because procrastination, friends, is a tool of the enemy. The enemy of God. And if God's enemy is practicing, every tool of God's enemy is a weapon against us to be used and deterring us living out God's calling on our life. I can say for one thing about overcoming the issue of procrastination. Because when I worked as a union electrician, I practiced it quite regularly. And I'll let you know, friends, overcoming it, it ain't easy. And at times, it may even seem boring. But remember this quote, "Hard work is often the easy work you did not do at the proper time." And this is especially truthful regarding overcoming the issue of procrastination. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage all of us to not let this tool of the enemy rob us any longer of the rich, fulfilling life that God is calling us to live. The blessings and virtues of wisdom are on the other side of our procrastination. Fight this temptation. Flee from this sinful practice and live out the gospel, and you will find a life that is rich with passion, with purpose and pursuit of the kingdom of God. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.